It was a fantastic weekend. The speaker did a workshop on how we can prevent burnout and maintain our vigor and passion for ministry. One thing that he mentioned that I found particularly useful was the skill of cognitive crafting. Cognitive crafting is basically trying to rethink how certain things to make it healthier in a different light. The famous example of cognitive crafting is the parable of the three stone cutters. When asked what they were doing, the first stone cutter said, "I'm turning small rocks, a big rock into small rocks." The second person said, "I'm just making a living." The third one responded with a glow in his eye and he said, "I'm building a cathedral." Today, we're going to do a bit of cognitive crafting on stewardship. My hope is that at the end of this sermon, we will see stewardship in a way that will fill us with energy and passion for God's work and will also prevent us from burnout. We'll start by examining why stewardship is an important concept in the Bible. Then we'll look at three ways seeing stewardship in this passage today that will help us make the most of what God has entrusted to us. Now, there's no doubt that stewardship is an important biblical concept in both the Old and New Testaments. In the Old Testament, the prophets of Yahweh repeatedly rebuked the leaders of Israel for the failures and abuses of their stewardships. Jesus taught extensively on stewardship, especially through parables. Most of us know the parable of the 1, 5, and 10 talents. But the most poignant parable was, of course, the parable of the vineyard owner and his stewards. This is the parable where Jesus foretold his death as the son of the vineyard owner, who was murdered by the stewards scheming to steal the vineyard from their master. Evidently, stewardship is an important theme in the Bible. But why? Why is stewardship so important to God? Now, in order for us to understand why stewardship is important to God, we need to go back to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden, where the first entrusting occurred. Let's listen to what God said before he made humanity. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." The reason why we're made in the likeness of God was so that we can be the face of God before his creation, to rule on his behalf. Now, to be the face of a company, brand, or organization is to be official representative or spokesperson. In other words, God created us with the very purpose of entrusting us with his creation. Therefore, the very first words that God spoke to humanity was to officially appoint humans as his stewards over his creation. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Wow. What a privilege and responsibility it was to be entrusted with God's creation. Unfortunately, we all know how this story in Genesis tragically ended. In our first assignment as God's stewards over his creation, humanity betrayed God by choosing to believe the devil rather than God. Our act of betrayal and defiance of God's authority effectively meant we broke fellowship with God and handed over what God has entrusted to us into the hands of the devil, thus allowing chaos and destruction to enter God's originally perfect creation. No wonder the Bible makes such a big deal about our stewardship. Poor stewardship can result in drastic consequences. Yet, despite humanity's poor track record as God's stewards, Jesus decided to leave us with the authority that he won back from the devil by going through hell, literally. Let us listen to Jesus' parting words to his disciples. "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age.'" I don't know about you, but for me, the burning question is, why would Jesus share his authority with us? Wouldn't it be better for Jesus to finish off the work himself that he had so perfectly began and to share his authority with fallible humans like ourselves? The reason why Jesus did that was because the authority to act as God's stewards, to rule over God's creation, was originally entrusted to humanity. What Jesus did was to affirm God's love and commitment to humanity by reinstating us as the official stewards for God's creation. What Jesus did, he did it for our sake, for the sake of humanity. Because we're created for the very purpose of being God's stewards. To deny us our stewardship is effectively to deny us the purpose and reason for our existence. The reason why stewardship is so important in the Bible is because stewardship is important to our very being. It's all that we're created for and destined to be. There's no other role or purpose for humanity in God's creation except to be God's stewards. Stewardship is not an optional extra to be a life in the life of a Christian. The Christian life, therefore, arguably is all about learning to become faithful stewards of God. Let's now look at three ways how we can cognitively craft the way we think about stewardship that would inspire us to become faithful stewards of God. First, we know that we are entrusted by God. The first key to good stewardship is to know that we are entrusted by God. In today's passage, we read the beginning of Paul's very personal letter to his protege, Timothy. Paul's main purpose of writing this letter was to exhort Timothy to use the spiritual gifts that God has entrusted him for the purpose of ministry. And Paul wrote, "I'm reminded of the sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Paul himself knew the privilege and responsibility of being entrusted by God. In his letters, Paul repeatedly referred to the responsibility of being entrusted with the gospel and the mystery of God as what motivated him to preach the gospel and testify of Jesus' resurrection. That's why Paul was confident that by reminding Timothy of what God has entrusted to him, Timothy would also be inspired to follow his example and replicate his ministry by entrusting to other reliable people. It is interesting to note that Paul and Timothy are not the only stewards mentioned in this passage. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, were also faithful stewards who fulfilled the calling by entrusting the faith to Timothy. The reason why all of us had the opportunity to hear the gospel was because we all had, like Timothy, had a Lois or a Eunice or a Paul in our lives who faithfully entrusted to us the gospel that they themselves had received. I became a Christian when I was in my first year at university. The guy who led me to the Lord, Mark, also discipled me and entrusted me with the gospel. I was really blessed to be discipled by him, because I've learned so much from him in just spending the first year of my baby Christian life with him. To me, he was one of the best examples of what a faithful steward looked like. Sadly, that one year was the only time that I could learn from him, because his life was tragically cut short when he and his newly wedded wife died in an instant car accident, just driving back down from Sydney to Melbourne after the honeymoon. I cried my heart out when I first heard the news of his death. I asked God, why would he let such a faithful steward die so prematurely? I even challenged God, how many more souls he could have brought into the kingdom of God if he didn't allow him to die so suddenly? Then I heard this answer from God. As far as I'm concerned, Mark's life and mission was complete. He has lived the life of a good and faithful servant. As for you and Jeff, Craig, and Paul, these are the names of the guys that Mark also discipled, continue to do the work of the gospel and make more disciples by entrusting them with what he has entrusted to you. His work will be continued and multiplied, and his life will not be a waste. Knowing what we have entrusted by God is a powerful motivation to stewardship. I know that from personal experience. Number two, focus on what we have been entrusted and not on what we fear. The second advice that Paul gave Timothy was not to fear, which in Timothy's case was the fear of shame. For the Spirit of God gave does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Fear is one of the biggest deterrents to good stewardship. In Jesus' parables of the talents, the excuse that the one talent person gave for burying his talent was fear, the fear of failure. Fears are not the same for everyone, but we all have our Achilles heel, one fear that can deter us from ministry. Common fear that we often face as Christians is the fear of rejection, ridicule, or even persecution, similar to the fear of shame that Paul warned Timothy about. Paul's remedy for Timothy's fear was to focus on what God has entrusted to him and not on the shame that he feared. When we focus on our fears, one of two things happen. We either find ourselves paralyzed by the fear and ended up doing nothing with what God has entrusted to us, like the person with the one talent, or we end up doing the very thing that we feared. Recently, my wife and I decided to go into the e-bike craze. Now, you have to understand the context that neither of us are gifted with good coordination, and neither of us have ridden a bike for more than 40 years. So with much fear and trembling, we decided to give this a go as a fun and healthy way to spend time together and explore the outdoors. Now, we've gone for free rides since our e-bikes 3 weeks ago. So far, so good. At least we didn't let fear stop us from trying it out. But in our second ride 2 weeks ago, I experienced the second curse of fear. The curse of doing the very thing that I feared. The thing that I feared most about riding bikes is the thought of crashing into people or objects. I realized that whenever I'm riding near cars, fences, and people, I have a recurring mental pictures of myself crashing into them. And it's funny, right? The problem is, the more I find myself focusing on these mental pictures, the closer I find myself steering towards them. Fear is a funny thing, yes. Focusing on our fears can cause us to end up doing the very thing we feared. I know this from personal experience again. I did end up crashing into a fence on our second ride when I was focusing on my fear. Fortunately, fear doesn't have to be the last word. Teresa and I went out for a third ride earlier this week, and I learned this time not to focus on what I fear. Guess what? I stopped veering to fences. Rather than focusing on what we feared, Paul advised Timothy to focus on what God has entrusted to him. For Timothy, this included the faith that he received from his mother, grandmother, the Holy Spirit, and the testimony of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, have you considered what God has entrusted you with? Now, rather than think of fit stewardship as being entrusted with different things in life, like money, talents, and spiritual gifts, I prefer to think of stewardship as being entrusted with life as a whole. Each one of us is entrusted with the privilege and responsibility of making choices for our own lives. Furthermore, many of us are entrusted with the lives of others. For example, parents are entrusted with the lives of their children, teachers, students, ministers, congregation, and so on. Teresa and I have decided long ago to raise our children up with the mindset that they are first and foremost God's children, whom we are entrusted with the blessing and privilege to love and nurture. Parenting them as God's stewards help us to focus on what God has entrusted to us and not on what we fear may happen to our children. We all know that parenting can be a fearful thing if we allow our minds to focus on that, especially in the world that we live in now. To be honest, I nearly let this fear stop me from wanting to have children. Fortunately, I was persuaded by God not to focus on fear, but on the privilege and blessing of being entrusted with his own children. And here's the extra advantage of seeing parenting as God's stewards. Because entrusting in stewardship is a two-way street. When God entrusts us with our lives, we have the privilege and assurance to entrusting it back to God. Listen to what Paul wrote about entrusting his life back to God. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Similarly, when we can see that our children are primarily God's children, whom he has entrusted in our care, we can entrust them back to God for his fatherly protection and guidance over their lives. This can be a welcoming relief from the anxiety and burden we often feel as parents, because the buck no longer stops at us. Number three, stewardship prepares us for our adoption as God's children. Now, at the start of this sermon, we looked at why stewardship is important to us. because that is the very reason and purpose why we're created. However, there's a far greater reason for our stewardship. Stewardship prepares us for our adoption as God's children. In the ancient world, sonship can look very much like stewardship, which is the apprenticeship of learning the family trade or business. Now, I use this term sonship as a gender-neutral term to include daughters as well. I asked my daughters, is there such a thing as daughtership? No. For example, if your father is a carpenter, then your sonship would be also involve learning to become a carpenter through a stewardship apprenticeship arrangement. This is the reason why Paul could address Timothy as his son in verse 2. Even though they were not related, the apprenticeship of learning to preach the gospel have fostered a father and son relationship between them. Similarly, this is how being stewards of God will prepare us for our adoption as God's children. We started this sermon by looking at the origin of our stewardship in Genesis. Let us finish here by going back to how our adoption as God's children was in fact already implied in our stewardship. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. What does this look like to you? Does it look like a father teaching his son the family trade in order that one day he can learn to run his household? Since God, our creator, is in the business of ruling over the creation, for us to become his legitimate children of God, we have to learn God's family business of stewarding his creation responsibly. Of course, the most convincing evidence that stewardship is strongly connected to sonship is the example of Jesus, who showed us how to be the perfect son by taking on the humility of a steward as an understudy. Jesus gave them this answer: "Very truly I tell you, the son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his father doing, because whatever the father does, the son also does. For the father loves the son and shows him all he does." When Jesus said that the Son cannot do anything unless the Father shows him, he does not mean that he's inferior to the Father, as some cults have misunderstood. No, rather, he was showing us how even him, being the Son of God, expresses sonship through perfect, faithful stewardship. Brothers and sisters, stewardship is important to us not only because this is what we are created for, but also because sonship is what we are destined for. God has made us stewards because his plans was to adopt us as his sons and daughters. Seeing a strong connection between our stewardship and our sonship will transform the way we think about stewardship. Now, there is in fact a cautionary tale in the parable of the prodigal son of those who failed to make the connection between stewardship and sonship. Listen to the response of the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Doesn't that sound like a man who is burnt out? The problem of the older brother was that he disconnected association between stewardship and his sonship, and saw himself more as a steward than as a son. We too can suffer burnout and lose the joy of our salvation when we fail to connect the close relationship, the inseparable relationship, in fact, between stewardship and sonship. Contrary to what the older brother thinks, we are not just stewards slaving away for a mere fattened calf. We are sons and daughters in training to take on our father's business. Let's sum up what we have learned about stewardship today. Stewardship is important to humanity because that was the very reason why we created. We've got no excuse. We just have to be stewards, and we have to learn about it. Now, three ways we can think about stewardship that would fill us with energy and passion for God's work and prevent us from burnout: know that we are entrusted by God, focus on what we have been entrusted and not on what we fear. Remember, stewardship prepares us for our adoption as God's children. Can I pray? Father, just Pray that your word will transform us how we think about the job that you call us to do. That each of us are called to different areas that we are called to steward, to represent you in this world. We pray that you help us to embrace that with joy and prevent us from burnout, because we know that we are preparing to become your sons and your daughters through our stewardship. Pray for everyone here, Lord, that they will let us transform their lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.